during the week. What did Spurs do something good during the week? They won, didn't they? Or was that last weekend?
Spurs win. Spurs were...
They beat somebody.
Beaten.
No, they weren't.
4-0.
No.
During the week.
No.
Oh, Malaysis, thank you. Oh, jeez, thank you very much. You're looking much better than you were the last time I saw you.
I didn't mind your opinion.
That's true, you know what? And I... Anyway, look. Thank you, you saved my life, you know. I could have tripped over that lace. And I could be... Yeah. So, what was the last score that Spurs got?
I thought they beat, didn't they beat Manchester United?
Oh, they did, but did they not play after that? I thought they played... they did. They beat Manchester United.
Yeah.
That was Manchester United now being in the... And we did have that conversation, so it must have been last weekend... Because I remember you saying to me, there's no way Manchester United can be relegated.
No, they can't.
No, I know. What
has happened during the week is their financial situation has been laid bare yet again. Because they had to...
What actually happened? Because I couldn't... For some reason, I was watching the TV with the sound off. And I saw this person doing a presentation... Yeah. Showing all sorts of numbers in relation to Manchester United.
So they released.
What was that all about?
Well, they released their quarterly figures. I think they have a quarterly reporting.
Well, they all are if they're on the stock market, aren't? Can't you buy and sell shares in Manchester United?
No. Privately owned.
Privately owned. Okay.
But
they do produce quarterly results.
Yeah, it seems to be. So this showed that they. Have a huge amount of debt that keeps going up and up and up. This is confusing to me. So they have almost, let's say, it's certainly 500 and something million. So
yes, I saw that figure. I think it was 600, actually.
Okay. And it's gone up in the time because they're paying an awful lot on interest on these loans. Which, I'm not sure if you remember, the Glazers borrowed the money to buy Manchester United... And said to the people they were borrowing the money from, well, the security will be the club. And then when they got the money, bought the club, they dumped the debt on the club. So they, in essence, got Manchester United for nothing. Manchester United settled with this huge debt. The interest payments apparently are eye-watering. They've had loss of earnings, even though they're one of the richest clubs in the world. Their income dropped dramatically because they're not playing Champions League football and other things.
Oh, yeah.
They sacked a manager and then had to buy a new manager, and that cost them the bones of 40 grand.
40 million, yeah.
So they're in a financial difficulty. Now, here's the thing. I'm not sure if you saw it, but almost the same day, maybe a day later, Arsenal reported its latest annual earnings. And Arsenal was running at a loss for the year up until May 2024, at 70 million loss for that financial year.
17.
Right. Now, that's down, by the way, from a loss from the previous year of 53 million. This club is constantly running at a loss, and people keep saying, oh, it's a well-run club. I heard something the other day that chilled my blood several degrees. The club... owes the owners £360 million.
The owners
have loaned the club £360 million.
This is Arsenal now, right?
So Arsenal is also carrying a significant debt.
Oh, I see. The figure 17 is to do with the kind of
that's the annual loss.
The annual for 1 year situation.
But it's actually carrying a debt to the owners of £360 million.
It's the difference between, isn't it? The difference between a balance sheet and a profit and loss account.
Yeah, it's going to be something like that.
Okay, so on the balance sheet is a loan which is earning interest or whatever. Yeah.
Well, the interest payments to the owners apparently are very favourable.
Uh-huh.
So nothing like the Manchester United situation where the interest payments are actually crippling. But it does put the Spurs situation into complete context, because I don't think Spurs Do Spurs have debt from the stadium that you know of?
I don't know, actually, you see. But, I mean, let's think. How can a football club, let's say Spurs have no significant debt, how can that have happened? Spurs haven't been in the advanced stages of the Champions League for a long time. Spurs haven't sold, you know, made a huge amount of money out of selling players. They have perhaps made some money, but it's not in the order we're talking about.
I mean, I suppose in recent times, Harry Kane and before that, Gareth Bale. I mean, they've made some big sales, but, you know, over
they've had to buy players for half the amount, let's say, even if it was half the cost of, unless they were given a gift to buy the stadium.
Well, what Spurs do have is a very low wage bill.
Yes.
And that ties in with the big thing. It is a big thing?
It is. The wage bill is a big thing, because that's a bit like you can't do much about your wage bill.
No. And this is what Chelsea and Manchester United talk about. I heard an example of Manchester United that is shocking. So the thing about Spurs is they're not paying Champions League wages.
Yeah.
But then they're also not in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So to get into the Champions League, you do need to start paying Champions League wages. But then, of course, if you do that and you don't get into the Champions League, you've got a problem. It's very difficult.
If you win the Champions League, do you win over 100 million?
I suppose cumulatively over the course of that campaign,
yes,
that's probably not unreasonable. Manchester United have a player called Luke Shaw.
Oh, yes.
He's been with the club for 10 years.
Yes.
And has a horrendous injury record.
Right.
7.5 seasons in total out of 10. Somebody worked out that his wages he would have received in that time are 58.5 million for the 7.5 seasons he was injured. So they've paid practically 60 million to a player who's for 7.5 seasons. In those 7.5 seasons,
hasn't been of any use to them.
Hasn't played.
Okay.
Now that's bad luck. You can't, you know. But it doesn't help, of course, when that happens.
It also, I presume, he didn't have a contract for 10 years when he began with them.
No.
So when a player gets injured, and you're the financial director, don't you go to the medical people and say, right, he's had his leg, this, that, the other. Now, what are the, we can only do things by statistics. What are the odds that this will happen again? It's happened once, therefore it could happen again. So, and you build that in, and the finance director comes back and says, even if Luke Shaw returns and gives us a season, the risk that Luke Shaw will be out again is too high. We have to let Luke Shaw go.
I completely agree, and that you think that's what happens. I have two examples that I heard yesterday, and I thought, I cannot believe this. Now, I've heard, I think I may have told you the story of Aaron Ramsey, who played for Arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at Stoke City was targeted, and Rory Delap just broke his leg in two places.
Right.
And it was an intentional foul to get him off the pitch. It was blatant, but of course he overdid it. He broke the guy's leg in two places. Compound fracture. It was horrendous. And while he was in hospital recovering, so this could potentially career-ending.
Yeah.
So while he was in hospital recovering, Arsene Wenger turned up and said, don't you worry, here's a contract extension. We'll extend your contract. Which, astonishing. So this I already knew about, and he was a very young, promising player. And of course, then medical science was, okay, there's a fair chance we'll get him through this, and there's a fair chance he will become a phenomenal player, which he did. But it was a gamble, but they turned up at his bedside and said, don't worry, you know, here's a contract extension. That's one thing. I heard yesterday that there's a player injured now. He will be out now probably until the end of his contract. And it's not clear whether he'll play again for the club or be able to play again at all. And there was on a podcast and they were talking about this and they said chances are he'll get a year's contract extension to put his mind at ease. And, so, and the other person on the podcast said, well, why did you say that? And he said, well, we had a player called El Neni who left the club at the end of the last season. And he said what happened to him was he was in the final months of his contract and he had a season-ending injury. He was in the final year of his contract, season-ending injury, and the club went to him and said, don't worry, you get yourself fit. Here is an extension so that when you're fit again, you've got another year on your contract. And they said they did it for two reasons. One, peace of mind for the player, which I thought was a very human thing. And the other thing was, if we extend his contract by a year, that still gives us the ability
to sell him.
If
he's worth something to us.
He's worth something to us.
Yes.
And I thought, what a very balanced way of looking at it.
It'll cost us X to give him a year's extension. That's what he learned. That's what we'll pay.
Yeah.
This is what we think we could earn from selling him.
Yeah.
And selling him is worth more than his annual salary.
Or they balance out. And he comes through the injury. For whatever reason, he becomes an integral part. He was a fringe player, a good fringe player, but he becomes an integral part. And so
So there's all of that.
All the options are left open. I thought that was very interesting. And of course, will the player want to stay? Yeah, because on his sick bed with his leg in bits, they said, don't you worry, here's a contract extension.
Why wouldn't he sign?
He knows he's got the trust of the club, so his loyalties, you know.
What kind of insurance policy do players have?
Or must have.
You know, if you have a career ending thing, do you get what you see? Supposing you're on. Is any player on $1 million a week?
Oh, yeah, in Saudi Arabia. Ronaldo's on $1 million a week.
Okay, so I'm just using that figure as a big amount. So supposing you're on $1 million a week.
No, I lie. He has to scrape by on $92 million a year. The poor man is not even on $1 million every 2 weeks. Is he?
He's on more than that if he's got...
Oh, no, he is. If he's on 98...
$2 million.
Yeah, no, he is. Sorry, he is. He's on more than $1 million a week. Yeah.
So your man is... So this guy is on $1 million a week.
Yeah.
And he gets a career-ending thing. What does the insurance company pay him? Now, if you were, you know... your house is, let's say, burnt down and you're going to get fully paid for the recovery of the house, you're going to be put back together in a house in which you will be able to live. In the house, you don't just get the house rebuilt that it'll last for just 1 year. You get the house rebuilt so it'll last for many years. Well, so they give you the cost of... So what will they... If his career ends, will they give him enough money that he can carry on earning what he was earning for, you know, the next 10 years. Will he get, you know, $200 million? And how much would you pay for an insurance policy of that size?
So he'll be paid anyway for the duration of his contract with the club.
Yes. So no insurance company would pay you anything during that time.
Then, after that, you would have to convince the club, the insurer, that you would be signing another deal worth X amount of money. No, it'd be a private arrangement. You'd have to come to a private arrangement where you'd say, I would like... I don't know, that's a very
difficult
one.
I want loss of earnings for the next... I've had an injury, and I want loss of earnings for as long as this injury will prevent me playing in the first team or whatever. But that's a gigantic amount of earnings
I think to be covered by
an insurance policy.
If a Lloyd's name even would consider that, I'd say the premium would be fairly hefty. Goodness me.
And the lawyer's fees for drawing up such a contract, given that so much was at stake, would be phenomenal, as the lawyer who would be passing this contract, who would take, you know, 1% of the value of the contract, would have a lot of...
I'm not sure. I think your best bet is, depending on what level you're at, is to be squirreling away and investing a lot of your money so that, you know, you're set anyway.
There are three types of football podcasts, I suggest. One is we talk about the results last week and the results next week and how the club is doing and blah, 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 all of that.
Yeah.
Secondly, football podcast which talks about numbers. It's just the statistics. Don't care much about the results, but just about the statistics. And I forget what those people are called. They're huge in baseball and all these sports that you have, cricket as well. So, and the third one then is the all these financial aspects that we just talked about. Two of them, if I remember rightly. Two big ones, right? And I'm sure if we spoke a little longer, some others would fall out of the woodwork, which would we'd get to the stage where we'd say, actually, we don't really know enough about this.
Well, what we're saying is there's the podcast for the fans who've watched the game, there's the podcast for the fans who are just all about the numbers, and then there's the podcast for the people who run football clubs.
Yes, exactly. But it's for people. And there are, would be a whole wide range, including lawyers.
Yeah, what we have then is we get Daniel Levy
and
one of the Glazers to co-host. The Glazers, completely different model, screw the club out of every penny. And Levy, very financially prudent . Oh, and then you'd have to get the Real Madrid guy in, who is, spend money, it doesn't matter, the government will cover.
Well, you could have a facilitator having these people on as guests. Yeah. Now, that is about as far as you get, because if it was the Daniel Levy podcast, Daniel Levy, one of them would be saying, how much time am I spending doing this podcast? What's my hourly rate?
What am I getting out of it?
What return on investment do I get for all the rest of my time?
And also, I'm not telling my secrets so some other club can sort out its balance sheet properly.